Good Friday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. It is April 14th and it is a beautiful, beautiful morning here in Texarkana, Texas. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. And I am joined in the studio today by my lovely wife, Debbie. Debbie, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Pastor Shreve.
Yes. Thank you for coming on. I asked Debbie this morning, I said, hey, Debbie, we have a big show today, lots of exciting things. We have an interview that I did last week with Mike Pence that we're going to air today, where I talk about his book, So Help Me God, and talk about his salvation experience. And as I told our engineer, Randy, I said, I looked on Twitter today, and Mike Pence is the number one name trending in the news. And he has people that love him and people that hate him, like so many other politicians. But we talk about his personal life, his walk with God, and I think you're going to enjoy listening to that interview that we will air starting at the second segment. But I wanted to, speaking of Mike Pence, it made me think of the idea of kindness in public discourse. You know, we have just degenerated to the point where people can't disagree on anything without hating one another and attacking one another, not on the ideas, but just personally. You know, it's like the old schoolyard. Oh, yeah, well, your mother wears army boots. You just do these ad hominem attacks. Look at you.
Ooh, that's a big word, right?
Like, wow. ad hominem means against the man. And so it's not the idea anymore. It's not the subject. It's just, I'm attacking you personally. You're ugly. That kind of thing.
Well, don't you think as sin just becomes more and more rampant in our world, it hardens hearts, and hard hearts are mean, cruel hearts.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's just a progression. An outward progression of what is taking place on the inside.
Right. And I think social media, too, where you can just go after people that you don't know, you're behind a keyboard, so to speak, or your phone or whatever, you're not seeing this person. You don't have to look them in the eye and demean them. You can do it, you know, in right. anonymity and all. And so you see, and anybody that is going to be well-known, Jenna Ellis has her program right before ours, and Jenna Ellis is a smart, beautiful young woman, and she just gets ripped all the time because she has a huge platform. Well, this is what the Lord says, Luke 6:35, love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. God is a God who is kind to us, and it's the kindness of God, Romans 2:4, that leads men to repentance. If God weren't kind, we would all be dead and in hell. But He is kind, He is gracious, He's compassionate, He's forgiving.
And isn't it interesting? We want God's kindness to be demonstrated towards us, but we don't necessarily always want His kindness to be demonstrated to other people.
Right. That's right? Exactly right. So you think about Jonah. Jonah wanted God's mercy, His grace, His deliverance, His salvation when he's in the belly of the fish and he's going down. He wanted that for himself.
He didn't want it for Nineveh, did he?
No. He wanted God to fry the Ninevites. And Nineveh was the capital city of the Assyrians, and the Assyrians were the archenemy of Israel. And there were lots of reasons why Jonah could say, I hate those people. But here's the bottom line. God didn't hate them. God wanted to save them. And God will save anybody who responds to Him in repentance and faith. And so when we read about the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So be kind to one another. Debbie, that was our theme verse, Ephesians 4:32, when we were growing up, little girls.
Right.
Be kind to one another, because little girls can be mean.
Mm-hmm.
Girls, you might have heard me say this, it's so true. Little girls, and just women in general, when they're good, they're great. When they're bad, they're horrible.
Yeah, because it's like the little girl that had a little curl.
Yeah. Yeah, right in the middle of her forehead. When she was good, she was very, very good. And when she was bad, she was horrid.
Right.
And so you have to say forehead like forehead.
Right.
So that to rhyme. But that's true. And so little boys, I was talking to Casey Nine, my assistant, just yesterday, and she was talking about how, you know, boys kind of, they get mad at each other. They punch each other and then
they're over it.
Then they're over it. Little girls are just so catty and they just pick at each other. And
they think it over and think it over. They ruminate on it, you know?
Yeah. And they're just, they can be vicious.
Yes.
And a whole bunch of women in an office can be, it can be rough.
That can be rough. Well, I read a quote this morning when you mentioned that we were going to be talking about kindness. And it's a great quote by Mark Twain that says, "Kindness is a language which the deaf can hear and the blind can see."
Mm-hmm.
And it's so true. And it's just, you know, an act of kindness doesn't have to be some huge thing. It's oftentimes those little acts of kindness that we exhibit towards other people that really touch their hearts and touch their lives. I mean, I think we can all think back to a time, you know, when maybe we were not feeling well, or maybe we were discouraged or down, and someone happened to just say something kind and an encouraging word to us, and how much that just encouraged our hearts and strengthened us. And I think, you know, if we're going to be like Christ, didn't compromise, like you said earlier, but even in his anger and wrath, and he was kind-hearted. You know, he was the one that wanted the children to come to him, and he displayed kindness towards those that he came into contact with.
Well, and it makes such a difference. It doesn't cost you anything to be kind to people. And even when you disagree with people, you don't have to poke them in the eye. You don't have to be, you know, unduly offensive. The gospel is offensive by itself. Bert
right.
and I were talking yesterday about that, you know, because it calls people out. It says you're a sinner in desperate need of a savior. Well, people don't like to hear that. Jesus said men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds are evil. And so they're going to get upset when you shine the light on their lives and say, hey, as Nathan said to David, you're the man. And that was a dangerous thing for Nathan to do, because David could have had him killed. So the gospel is offensive by itself. You don't have to add to it your obnoxiousness in how you present it to people.
Well, and I don't know if you heard this statement growing up, but I certainly did. It was like, you can get more bees with honey than with vinegar.
Flies.
I always heard bees. Bees with honey than with vinegar. That's how my grandmother said it. And it just goes back to, you know, you just have a better rapport with people if you're known for one that is kind and gentle, as opposed to one who is abrasive and abrupt, and you can come across so easily as uncaring if you're abrupt and you're not kind. And so it is just so important. And yeah, I remember, based on the fact that was one of our family verses when our girls were growing up, it was like, listen, if you don't have something kind to say to someone, don't talk. Just keep your mouth shut. You know, you don't have to talk all the time. You don't have to always have a comment. You don't have to always say something. So if there's not a kind word that can come out of your mouth in a moment, that's probably your indicator that you maybe need to just be quiet. We talked about that in our Bible study Wednesday night, talking about the book of James, you know, about being quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. And we just don't have to always say everything that we think, because we rarely ever have to apologize for something we didn't say.
Right.
And so it's just important to make sure that our speech and our facial expressions, because those can speak unkindness even without a verbal word coming out of our mouth.
Right.
And so to guard that, as well as guard what comes out of our mouths.
Well, the James verse, be quick to listen, slow to speak. I love the little acronym for think. Think before you speak. T, is it true? What you're going to say, is it true? Lots of times we share things that we just heard from someone. Well,
right.
It's true because I saw it on the internet.
Yeah, right.
Is it true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? And K, is it kind? And if it doesn't pass that test, it's better just to keep your mouth shut.
Right.
Now, speaking of all that, Debbie, makes me think of this weekend at First Baptist Texarkana, because we are welcoming a special guest to the pulpit. Our friend, Dr. Charles Lowry. Dr. Lowry was on staff for years at First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. Then he went to be the pastor of Hoffmantown in
Albuquerque,
New Mexico. And he was there for 10 years. And then he went on the road, and he goes to churches all across the country, and he encourages people. Dr. Lowry has a degree in psychology. And so not only he grew up in a pastor's home, and so he's been around theology and Christianity his whole life, came to Christ when he was a young man. But he's got a unique perspective because he's been trained in psychology. He's going to do a conference for us, preaching Sunday morning, and it'll be a lot of fun. Charles is always fun because he's so funny. And he shares truth. You laugh, and then all of a sudden it's like,
zing.
Yeah.
Zing.
So he's going to be preaching in the morning, and then in the afternoon at 4 o'clock, we're coming back for a Relationships Matter conference. And it's not just for married people, although married people are going to benefit greatly from it because that is a key relationship. But it's for families, it's for singles, it's for widows. Hey, life is made up of relationships. If you want to have a sad, sad life, have zero relationships in your life. And as we've talked about on this program, people who are chronically lonely have to look in the mirror and say, am I doing something?
Right. What's the common denominator here?
Because if you have no friends, and if people see you coming down the hall and go the other way, it's because you're probably a social vampire. You latch onto them, and you throw up all your problems on this person that just was...
Or maybe you're just not kind.
Yeah, you're mean.
Right.
I don't know where we get off thinking that that's a good thing, to be mean to people. Mm-hmm. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God also in Christ has forgiven us. And so as my basketball coach told me, this was before I was a Christian, Coach Pache.
Words of wisdom.
You know, I love Coach Pache.
I know you do.
He said, he used to tell us, he said, guys, it doesn't cost you anything to be nice to your teachers. It doesn't cost you anything. Just be nice. Mm-hmm. He said, you know, people like to be around people who are nice. You don't like to be around someone who's just a jerk, who's just abusive and just unkind. Everything that comes out of his or her mouth is a criticism. It's, you know, it's got poison on it. And so be kind to one another. It makes such a difference. And Dr. Lowry is going to teach us, how do we get along with people? How do we understand the other guy? How do we understand ourselves? Lots of people don't understand themselves. Why do I act the way I do? Why do I get offended so easily if someone says X? And how does God want to change me? So what comes out of my mouth would be pleasing to him and not displeasing to him.
Right. Yeah, I think that so often we just don't want to take a look in the mirror. Or we look in the mirror and then we don't necessarily like what we see, so we turn away real quick. We don't want to keep looking. You know, so it's you have to really take those things to the Lord and let him examine your heart and show you those things in yourself that need to change.
So Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24 is a prayer that is good to pray every single day. Prayer of David: search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with Debbie. And we just wanted to say we had Share-a-thon for the last 3 days. And I'm very thankful to Bert Harper for being on the program with me. But we had... Almost 20,000 people that participated in Share-a-thon, 19,660.
And there are more coming in. It's not too late to give.
It's not too late, and more coming in, and we'll have the totals probably starting next week. But it's exciting, 3 days, and so this is an exciting time for us. When we come back, we're going to interview former Vice President Mike Pence, and I think you'll find that it's an exciting interview. We're going to talk about his book, So Help Me God. Don't go away.
AM Abraham Hamilton III, host of The Hamilton Corner.
American Family Association is on the front lines in the culture war in America. We've been here for more than 40 years fighting for the biblical principles our nation was founded upon. And by God's grace, we are making a difference. One significant way you can join us in this battle is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. Not only will the charitable gift annuity benefit you, but it will benefit the culture-transforming work of American Family Association.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting American Family Association. A charitable gift annuity helps you, and it allows AFA to impact America for generations to come. Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Hello, folks. Tim Wildman here. Thank you for your faithfulness during our recent AFR Share-a-thon. What a pleasure to have this connection with you twice a year to remind us that we are together in this battle for the spiritual life of our country. It's an honor and a privilege to serve the Lord through this ministry, and we are glad to have you as a partner. We will continue to fight as long as the Lord provides. Thank you again for your financial support during Share-a-thon, and thank you for your prayers.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
In churches, and a lot of churches today, the issue of identity is sort of like the big elephant in the room. It's in the news, but it's not in the church. So if it's in society, it needs to be something the churches are addressing.
In His Image, delighting in God's plan for gender and sexuality, is now available for church screenings and events.
Every person in America needs to see this.
And all pastors need to show this to the church, get the people informed. If the church and Jesus isn't the answer, where's the world going?
We want the message of the film to touch as many hearts and lives as possible, and we'd love to join with you to bring the film to your community. So let's say you have a small group or your church, or we've even been bringing the film into some prisons. We want to partner with you. So what we'll do is we'll send you a special kit, and it's completely free, and it'll just have some extra resources to help you promote your event.
To find out more about how to host an event, go to inhisimage.movie and click on the Host an Event tab. That's inhisimage.movie.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." Well, my next guest embodies that verse because he has had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ that totally changed his life. He is the 48th Vice President of the United States of America with Donald J. Trump, 2017 to 2021, and the 50th Governor of Indiana from 2013 to 2017. His name is Mike Pence. Mike, welcome to the program.
Well, Pastor Jeff, it is wonderful to be on Real Truth for Today. Thank you. Thank you so much for the gracious introduction, and thanks for your voice for truth on the airwaves.
Thank you. So, Mike, I was reading in your book, So Help Me God, and I was just astounded by how our lives are very similar. You're just a couple years older than I am. You are one of six kids in a Catholic family. I was too. And you came to Christ when you were, I'm assuming, 18 or 19 years old. I was 17. Was it your freshman year in college when you came to Christ?
It was. I was at a small school in southern Indiana called Hanover College. And, and like you, I was raised in a wonderful church home, grace before dinner, you know, church on Sunday. But I'd really lost interest in faith in my high school years. I had a little bit of success socially and academically, and I just thought God was a crutch that I didn't need in my life. But when I went off to college, I met some people who for the first time talked to me about having a personal relationship with God. And it was a new idea for me. I was drawn to it. I began to attend a fellowship group on campus, and it would be in the spring of 1978 at a Christian music festival at a place much in the news lately called Asbury University down in Wilmore, Kentucky, that I was sitting on a hillside on a Saturday night. And I heard, it was like I heard for the first time that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whoever might believe in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. And I stood up and I walked down that hillside and accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, and it changed my life forever.
Mike, I was just curious, because when I trusted Christ, especially from a Catholic background, you know, I believed everything about Jesus, but it was just in my head. And when it really became real in my heart, that's when my life changed. Did you have any kind of concept of how trusting Christ was going to change your life?
I really did. I was confronted by a friend of mine in college who's now been a pastor at a large church in Indianapolis for many years. But he was a senior, I was a freshman. And Pastor Jeff, he was wearing a little tiny cross. This was long ago. Most of your listeners won't remember, but back in the day, you used to have to order things on your phone with a catalog and call a number. And I told him I liked that cross he was wearing. I was going to go ahead and wear a cross and be Christian. And he looked at me, and as I recount in my book, he looked at me in the cafeteria at our fraternity one day, and I said, "Hey, John, don't forget to get me that catalog. I want to order one of those crosses." And he looked at me and he said, "Mike, you know, you got to wear it in your heart before you wear it around your neck." And John didn't let off on me. He kind of saw through me. He made it clear to me that when the time came, if I was going to make a decision for Christ, that it was going to be all in. And I will tell you, for me, my experience in that spring was after I accepted Christ, it's like that verse you opened our conversation with. I was born again. I felt that new creation in my life. And as I said, my life has never been the same.
Okay, so now, but Mike, in college, you were what we used to call at University of Texas, you were a frat rat. And frat rats are known for drinking and partying. And as I was reading in chapter two, you were the president of the fraternity. And so you were kind of overseeing all the parties. How did that mesh with your walk with Christ?
Well, you know, before I came to the Lord, it meshed just fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, after I came to the Lord, I really wanted to be a man of integrity, and I learned some really important lessons in leadership in those first few years after my decision for Christ, and about stands that you need to take. It ended up, I wanted to live up to what we professed in terms of our conduct on campus. Many of my, to use your affectionate term, frat rat brothers did not want to. We ended up having a confrontation among the fraternity brothers at the time. But in that confrontation, I think I learned about the importance of taking a stand. And I saw that while people may not understand the stand that you take to live a life of integrity, that it can create an environment of respect that can really allow for progress to occur. And I saw so many good things happen in the years that followed at the fraternity, and so much of it flowed out of my desire, by God's grace, to not yield to the social currents of the day and tell the guys we can be better, we can do better. And people ultimately responded. But I wrote about that, the lessons I learned sitting down with my father, trying to apply those principles. But it really began with a deep conviction in my life to when I embraced a leadership role there and other leadership roles that I would take on in the future to try and be a man of integrity by God's grace.
Well, I loved how you talked about that and how you talked about double secret probation and being honest with the dean. I thought that was great. One of the things, too, Mike, that resonated with me, because our backgrounds were very similar. And so when I got saved and sat down with my parents to talk to them about getting baptized, you would have thought I shot their dog. I mean, they just stared at me, and it was not a warm conversation. And you share in your book kind of that same experience for you.
Pastor Jeff, I have to smile. I don't know if it was like I shot their dog, but when I came home and told my parents that I'd accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, I was very excited. I was very excited to tell them about the change in my heart, the change in my life. And as I wrote in my book, it did not go well. My dad was a combat veteran in the Korean War, not a subtle man, greatest man I've ever known, but he was pretty direct. And my parents felt in some way that I was rejecting them or rejecting a foundation they tried to pour into my life. And while my dad left us a few years later, too young, we would go on to have some very deep conversations. I'll never forget the day my dad looked to me and said, you know I have Christ in my heart. And I know he did. And I looked at him and I said, Dad, someday I hope you can understand that the faith that I have in my life is because of the faith you've lived out in your life. My mother's gone on. She's 90 years young. I would tell you that, as I write about in the book, the Sunday she found out that Karen and our little children were attending an evangelical church, it was, again, one of those moments, but Mom's going on to be our greatest champion. She's seen the way we've tried to raise our kids in a Christ-centered home and to be the kind of spouses and parents that God calls us to be. And she's frankly our greatest champion to this day.
Amen. And well, when did you meet Karen, Mike?
Well, I was in law school in 1983 in Indianapolis, and I was a first semester law student. Some of your listeners may know about 1L. It's not an easy time. I headed down to a church not far from the governor's residence, where Karen and I would live some 30 years later. And I walked in the back of the church, and I saw, as I titled a chapter in my book, I saw this beautiful brunette with a guitar playing in the group up in front of the church. And she got away from me the first day. Some friends interrupted me, but a couple weeks later, I was back. I followed her out the back of the church. She was instantly enthralling to me, not just because of her beauty, but because she just radiated a spirit. She's a school teacher. She was a pilot. She had a motorcycle and a firearm. It was love at first sight, but it was that. That sweet spirit that I met in her, and we'd be engaged 9 months later, married 9 months after that, and it's been 37 years. And other than my relationship with the Lord, Karen Pence is the greatest gift God's ever given to me.
Amen. I've been married 37 years myself, and I have our lives really coincide, except I never served as vice president. But let me ask you this. I was just curious. So you were governor for 4 years and vice president, obviously, with Donald Trump. It seems to me that it would be a lot more fun just as a job to be the governor than to be the vice president. Is that true?
Well, you know, I'm glad I was the one before I was the other. But I will tell you, one of the best jobs in America today, and I certainly didn't have the highest job, one of the best jobs in America today is to be the governor of a state. The ability to impact lives, as the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, has just done such an extraordinary job and carried himself with such dignity and with faith radiating in his life. The ability to lead and to be of consequence to the things that matter most to people was a great privilege for me. And it's one of the reasons why serving then at the White House, serving at the national level, I will always I will always believe what Ronald Reagan said in his first inaugural address, Pastor Jeff, is a truism, that it's important to remember that the states created the federal government. The federal government didn't create the states, and that government that touches most closely on the lives of our people, whether it's public safety or education, is more often than not state and local government. And so the ability to really lean in and bring servant leadership to that role was a great privilege for me. But I will tell you, it was a great privilege for me to serve as vice president and to be a part of an administration that not only secured our border and revived the economy and supported our military, but to have been a small part of the administration that appointed three of the justices that overturned Roe v. Wade and gave America a new beginning for life, one of the greatest privileges of my life.
Amen. Amen. Well, you did a super job as the vice president. And let me just say, and I don't want to put you on the spot on any of this, but that would be an extremely difficult job, given who your boss was. But I thought you handled yourself extremely well. Let me ask you this question. When you do something like that vice presidential debate that you had with Kamala Harris, that's got to be extremely nerve-wracking. How did you were cool as a cucumber, but was there going on inside of your mind and heart? Were you nervous?
Well, I'm short answer is yes, of course. As I like to say, my first debate in 2016, vice presidential debate, I was nervous as a cat in a room full of rocking chairs. No less so in 2020. And, but you know, the thing that I learned, and you've learned it on the radio too, is back when I did the radio program in Indiana in the 1990s, my wife would often remind me when she said I started to sound a little, she would call it speechy. When I would sound a little formal on my radio show, she would say, well, remember, you're just talking to one person. Mm. And so a part of my prayer going into that was that I would not try and debate so much as communicate and share a vision and a values and our record and hold the other side accountable. But I also prayed for the grace to do that. I love that Bible verse, Pastor Jeff, that says, always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that you have, but do so with gentleness and respect. And I'm someone who really believes that our politics today could do with a lot more civility. And so a lot of preparation, but really going into it with the hope that we would just communicate with people that were looking on, share a bit of our heart, share a bit of a vision, but also carry ourselves in a way ultimately that would honor the Lord.
Well, you definitely did that. And that coming on the heels of how President Trump acted with Joe Biden was, you know, I for one was saying, I wish our president acted like our vice president. So you did a great job there. So what is in the future for Mike Pence?
Well, we like to say at our house, we don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. Amen. And Aaron and I have been traveling over the last 2 years. I'm speaking to you from Indiana. We moved home to Indiana 2 years ago, bought 5 acres in a pond, got a riding mower, got a red pickup truck. You know, we're just back to being Hoosiers. But we've traveled a lot across the country the last 2 years. We've gotten a lot of encouragement about stepping forward again. And for anyone within the sound of my voice that might remember us in prayer in this very special season of the year, we're approaching a decision about whether we might enter the race for the Republican nomination for president. We've made no decision yet, but we're giving prayerful consideration to it because I look at the experiences that we've had, both a leader in Congress, as a governor, as vice president. I look at the challenges the country's facing, and we increasingly feel that we want to be sure that we're available to serve in whatever way that the American people would have us to serve. But I promise to keep you posted, and we sure would be grateful for the prayers.
Amen. And your wife is good with that?
You know, my wife is an amazing person. It's something we've been praying for clarity and unity over the last many months. And whatever we do, we'll We'll do it in a unified spirit. That's only the way to go.
You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're talking to former Vice President of the United States of America, Mike Pence, and his book, So Help Me God. We're up against a break, but we'll be right back with Mike Pence. Don't go away.
Hi, I'm Kirby Anderson, president of Probe Ministries and host of the Point of View radio program. You probably noticed that many young Christians leave the church after they graduate, but they don't have to graduate from God. That's why I want to invite your children and grandchildren to attend the Probe Mind Games Camp in Texas. We prepare them for college and their entry into a world that will challenge their faith. This one-week camp includes lectures, role play, along with some great fun. It will take place June 18th to the 24th. Go to probe.org for more information.
The tornadoes that twisted across parts of the Midwest and Mid-South left an aftermath of overwhelming destruction and grief. Now, chaplains from the Billy Graham Rapid Response Team are there in the midst of the devastation, sharing the hope and love of Jesus Christ with those who are suffering. God is at work. You can find out how on Facebook. Search for Billy Graham Rapid Response Team. The Billy Graham Rapid Response Team, sharing hope in crisis.
Steve Russo with Real Answers.
Sometimes you gotta wonder what makes people do the things that they do. Here's an example of what I'm talking about. Three young men in Oklahoma enjoying the 4th of July got impatient and wanted to test some fireworks they had bought. But they had a problem that none of them recognized. It was their launch pad. They were sitting on top of a storage tank containing several 100,000 gallons of fuel. Oddly enough, some fumes were ignited, producing a fireball seen for miles. They were found dead 250 yards from their respective seats. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, gives us some practical advice for situations like this in the book of Proverbs. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it.
Mistakes may be just a decision away. You need real answers. Steve Russo has resources that can help. Check out his website at realanswers.com.
By the grace of God, American Family Association is making a difference.
Bert Harper, co-host of Exploring the Word.
And we want to continue to make that difference. God's called us to it, and we have set our face as a flint, like the prophets in the Old Testament, to stay true to God and His Word. So I want to encourage you to support the work here at American Family Association.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. A charitable gift annuity benefits you and helps ensure the AFA will impact America for generations to come. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking to former Vice President of the United States of America, Mike Pence, about his new book, So Help Me God. One other quick question, because I know a lot of our listeners have a deep concern for election integrity. And, you know, if we feel like our vote doesn't matter, then
right.
To me, it seems like the country is lost. What can you say that would encourage our hearts in that area?
Well, what I can say is I understand that with the there were voting irregularities. Some states in the 2020 election actually changed the rules. Maybe half a dozen states that tended to undermine public confidence in election integrity. Now, they were ultimately reviewed, upheld by the courts, and certified by the states. But what's encouraging to me is that in the aftermath of that, states across the country, including Texas, have enacted state-based election reforms that have been reinforcing that one-person, one-vote principle. And I think we have more work to do in that area. I'm confident in the days ahead, the Republican Party is going to be leaning into the effort about election reform. But the one thing I'm pleased about is that we've preserved the principle that really traces back to the founding of the country, Pastor Jeff, and that is that elections are governed at the state level. We never want Washington, D.C. running our national elections. And so giving states the kind of leadership that will strengthen election integrity, restore public confidence from across the country is an ongoing project. It's one that's happened in many states since the last presidential election. And that's something that we've been a part of and will continue to be a part of, that one person, one vote is at the very heart of our democracy. And I look forward to being a part of that in the years ahead.
Very good. One last question, Mike. So the book is called So Help Me God. What do you hope your readers take away from that book?
Well, Pastor Jeff, first, just thanks for having me on Real Truth for Today again. I didn't realize how much we had in common. This has been a real blessing chatting with you. And I tell people the title of the book is So Help Me God, which comes from the oath of office that elected officials take, that members of our military take, that I took many times. But I also hope it gives evidence of the fact that this is not so much the story of our family that had the opportunity to live through extraordinary times. But really, I hope people will see in the pages of So Help Me God, God's faithfulness in our life. You know, the title of the book is So Help Me God. The last three words are Thank You, Jesus. And I hope in between the pages, more than anything else, people will see credit to whom credit is due. And through trials and errors, through lessons learned along the way that we try and be candid about, but we've been incredibly blessed as a family, blessed to be able to serve. And we see it all as a tribute to God's grace in our life. And I hope that's what people take away from So Help Me God.
Amen. Amen. Well, Mike, thank you so much for being my guest. God bless you, my brother, and God bless your family. And may the Lord give you clarity as you pray through what is your next step.
Thank you, Jeff, and thanks for having me on Real Truth for Today.
Amen. Thank you, my brother. All right. Well, we're back live. That was a conversation I had with former Vice President Mike Pence. And we visited on Thursday, right before Good Friday, and he was extremely gracious. And after we ended the conversation, he continued to talk about some things. I did ask him about what it was like working with Donald Trump. You know, I had had a pastor friend of mine who was drumming up support in 2020, getting the pastors to encourage their congregations to register to vote and to vote and to vote for the candidate who would more closely advance biblical values and the things that that we want to see, life and freedom of speech and freedom to share the word of God, those kinds of things. And so I remember talking to this guy and I said, listen, as pastors, it's really difficult to get behind the current president, that was Donald Trump at that time, and because of the things that he says. And I remember what Rick Scarborough was his name, Dr. Rick Scarborough, and he says, listen, we don't like what Trump says, but we like what Trump does. And I had to say, well, that's true. Trump did some great things, and Mike Pence was very glad to be a part of that with Donald Trump. And he said himself, I saw him in an interview with Mike Huckabee, he said, listen, Donald Trump was my friend, not only my president, but my friend. And he said, we had a great working relationship. True, it didn't end well. And there was a major parting of the ways. And there are some people that, you know, think that Pence didn't do what he was supposed to do and blah, blah, blah. And that's a difference of opinion there. But he doesn't speak ill of Donald Trump in any way. And so Mike Pence is, what I gleaned from the conversation, he's a stand-up guy. He is an honorable person. He doesn't make any bones about the fact that he loves the Lord Jesus Christ, that he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as an 18-year-old college freshman. And, you know, some politicians talk about God and, you know, they're talking about somebody they read about. Mike Pence talks about the Lord. It's someone he knows. He has a personal relationship, and that is very, very evident. Well, we're going to open up the phone lines, 888-589-8840. You may have a question or a comment, 888-589-8840. I realize when we have a politician on the program that you may have strong opinions one way or the other. So just ask. As we began the program, Debbie and I were talking about kindness and respect. And so I ask you to be kind and respectful. You can obviously disagree with the former vice president, in be kind about it. And so that makes a difference. And as the scripture says, love your enemies and do good to them and lend, expecting nothing in return. For God himself is kind to ungrateful, sinful men. And God is kind to us. And, you know, without his kindness, it's the kindness of God that leads men to repentance. And I think we need to remember that as believers, because we all have feet of clay, and we stumble and fall, and we do things that that we feel very ashamed about, and guilty for. Or we lost our temper. We gave in to lust. We got bitter at somebody. We need to come back to the Lord. We need to confess our sins. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is kind to us, and God is a good God, and God is the father of the prodigal son. And when we leave the pigsty of sin and come to him, he runs to us and he embraces us and he restores us and he forgives us and cleanses us. So that is the God that we serve. He's not a God who is stern and writes us out of the will, so to speak. He is a God who is holy, 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 but he's also merciful, kind, and gracious. 34:6 verses needs to memorize the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. Well, we have Herman on the line from Georgia. Herman, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
There's one thing I don't understand. I've been following Jesus Christ for 42 years, and he has taught me, because I submit to the Holy Spirit for my teaching, my guidance. Mm-hmm. Which is verified by James and James 1:5 and John and 1 John 2:26 and 27.
Amen.
And I have a problem. I don't understand how these people and yourself, listening to you also, how y'all can be supporting Donald Trump, or how anybody can support Biden with his gay marriage and all this stuff and abortion. And then how you all can't see that Donald Trump is a white supremacist. He sent those men down to the Capitol to do something that a Christian does not do. And then he get on national TV and say, I reached out and grabbed her, you know what? That's ungodly. And how he just continued to talk bad about people, call them names, and that's not being led by the Holy Spirit. The Lord says in Galatians 5, if you walk after the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I see too much flesh in him, but yet and still, y'all vote for him. Christians are not called to vote anyway. This is the world. Satan controls this world according to Jesus. Jesus called him the ruler of this world, and I can easily see why. So my point is, how can you say you're a Christian when you're voting for people like Trump, who expresses hatred all the time? He hated Obama, trying to make it look as if he wasn't born in America. The man proved that he was born in Hawaii. And I used to live in New York City. I know what kind of guy he was. So it just doesn't make sense. Somebody needs to repent, because this is not godly. That's all I have to say, sir.
All right, Herman, I appreciate you calling in today and sharing that opinion. When you have two candidates, and both are very flawed and both are very sinful, you look at the person that's going to to do things that are maybe the lesser of two evils. I know some people get mad at that. No, I'm not going to vote for anything. Well, somebody's going to be president. Somebody's going to lead. We have Joe Biden leading now. He's leading us off a cliff. And the one thing about Donald Trump is he said that he was going to get conservative justices on the Supreme Court. He did that. Roe v. Wade was overturned because of that. And you can say all you want about this and that and the other. I don't agree with you that Donald Trump is a white supremacist. That is a narrative that is postulated, but I don't agree with that at all. But here's the thing. The issue that outshines every issue and outpaces every issue is the issue of abortion, because a million babies were being brutally dismembered every year in America. You have one party that cheers that and supports that and defends that at all costs. I mean, that is their crown jewel, is we have to be able to kill babies. You have another group that says killing babies is wrong, and so we're going to come against that. I'm always going to vote for the group that wants to save the lives of babies. So if you try and put these issues on a par with one another, well, I've said this before, if you'd been on the Titanic, you could have had things to complain about. Maybe the soup was too salty. Maybe your towel service wasn't very good. Maybe you didn't like this, that, or the other. But it all pales in comparison to the fact that the ship has hit an iceberg and water is pouring in and it is going down. So abortion is the gash in the hull. And so that issue alone trumps everything else, and you had one candidate that's all for it and one candidate that's against it. I'm going to vote for the candidate that's against killing babies, and that would be my opinion on that. Well, we have Brenda on the line from Arkansas. Brenda, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff, and I just want to say I'm just so thankful for you and your wife.
Thank you.
Said exactly what I wanted to say. I always felt biblically, and number one, abortion. And anyone who is for abortion, they are not going to get my vote. I vote for the pro-life. And I may not agree with everything that President Trump did, everything that he said, but he was for life. And I will stand before God one of these days and give my reason. And we all will. And those babies are helpless. And we need to support them. I'd like to add one thing. For women who have had abortions, you can be forgiven. God loves you just as much as he loves that little baby that was killed. So turn your life to him and ask for forgiveness, and he will forgive you and love you. And thank you, Pastor Jeff, for your stance. And may God continue to bless you and Debbie.
Oh, thank you, Brenda. I appreciate that so much. Yeah, so something very important to remember. So God hates sin, but he loves sinners. God hates abortion, but he loves those who have had an abortion. God hates divorce, but he loves those who have been divorced. And so when we talk, when I talk from the pulpit, talk about issues, it's not talking about people. God hates homosexuality, but he loves homosexuals, and he will save anybody in any sin who will turn to him in repentance and faith. And so, Roxanne, I'm sorry we're out of time. And the question about the letter at the Bush's funeral, I don't know. I didn't ask him about that. I know lots of people have thoughts and ideas about that as it relates to Mike Pence getting this letter. So if I ever get the opportunity, I'll ask him again. Hey, you've been listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And let me encourage you, if you live in the area, join us Sunday for Charles Lowry, Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday afternoon at 4. Child care is provided from 4 to 6. Relationships Matter Conference. You won't be disappointed. Hey, go out today, shine and share, and God will use you. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.